KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Always enjoy getting information to you, what's happening in our community. We're going to do that again on Thursdays. Well, every day we do it, but Paul Getzig in studio with us on Thursday with the Rio Grande Foundation. Tomorrow, Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, Ray Mondragon is going to join us. He'll be the speaker next Tuesday night at their monthly meeting, a free meeting, csfnm.org for details on that. We'll also catch up tomorrow with a local musician, Charlotte Rose Marie, and let you know about her ministry and hear some of her music. Freedom Celebration, hope you have that on your calendar. It is happening June 28th. It's going to be a major event at Expo New Mexico. You need to really let everyone know about this. Really, the easiest way to do that is either text or on social message or social media. Let them know about the freedomabq.com website. If you haven't heard this year, now it starts at 4 o'clock at Expo New Mexico. It's a Saturday. That's when the fun zone gets underway. There'll be a car show, food trucks, extreme sports, and more. But that evening, the stage comes to life with music from Calvary MSC. Jordan Felice will be performing, also Passion. We'll hear a message from Skip Heitzig on the meaning of true freedom, only found in Christ. Jeremy Camp will be the headliner for music, and then fireworks, one of the best displays you'll see really around the state. So it's worth making a day trip for to come to Freedom Celebration. If you're listening maybe at 90.7 FM at Cannon Air Force Base or 88.1 FM in Las Cruces, free event to attend. So as I mentioned, you know, invite everyone out to it and make plans now on who you're going to actually bring with you. Bring someone that you would like to continue to share or share for the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Skip will not mince words and let everyone know about true freedom in Christ. Freedomabq.com. It's going to be a great evening. Full hour today with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and bettertogethernewmexico.org. You got to, on that website, by the way, you got to spell it all. No NMs there, okay? bettertogethernewmexico.org. And then, on the first, the other website, though, it is nmbiz.org. BIZ coalition.org, nmbizcoalition.org, and bettertogethernewmexico.org. Carla, it's been a month.
Yeah, it has. It feels like more, but here we are.
And here we are in what seems to be actually summer. I mean, got a lot of wind yesterday. With the wind yesterday, I thought, okay, here comes the 40-degree temperatures, I guess. So you know, this spring was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
We've got a lot to talk about, and we'll kind of tease it here and then jump into our first segment. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the NMED extending a timeline for workplace heat protection rule. We'll get to that later in the show. We will also talk about the Heroes Banquet, and recently, of course, people paying homage to a fallen officer. We'll go into a little more detail on that. Hey, let's start with the mayoral race, which, by the way, if you haven't heard, November 5th, that's going to be a Tuesday, is the mayoral election, the date of that. And there'll be a lot of other things on the ballot, and we can talk about that if you like, Carla. I would encourage everyone to be registered to vote. And I would encourage everyone on November 5th to get out and vote. If you haven't already, by the way, doing early voting for local elections?
I think they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do make sure to get out. You know, as we watch, and we can talk more about this too as well later in the show, as far as our governor and what she has to say about what's happening in L.A. But, you know, it does bring to light the importance of local elections. Mm-hmm. That's gubernatorial, mayoral, the school board, anything local, it's going to have an impact. But the mayoral race is, well, it's kind of underway.
It is. We've got, the candidates have until June 21st to determine if they're going to get on the ballot or not. So it is a last minute scramble. There are three that are qualified. That's the current mayor, Tim Keller. And then you've got Alexander Ubaez and Daniel Chavez. They have already qualified.
Got a quick question. Any indications, you know, when you see this early people getting qualified, what maybe they're, you know, is that indication of who people are leaning towards, do you find? Or is it just the way they've run their campaign that they were able to get it done? What do you think?
I don't think it's necessarily a popularity contest at this point. I think what's happening is the ones that were better armed and ready to go to get the signatures.
Yeah.
Because now we've got some others that are coming up from behind really fast.
Okay.
So they've gotten really gotten on the stick and they're working it.
All right. So as you mentioned, the three candidates who have already qualified, Keller, Ubaez, and Chavez, three more expected to qualify, I see in your notes.
Yes. Eddie Varela, Luis Sanchez, and Darren White. They're within striking distance and they're picking up the, I always say picking up the picante, pace picante. And then it looks like Mayling Armijo, she's struggling. She's at about 53%. They report on Fridays, and so we'll know by this Friday, but she still has an opportunity to get that done. There are four of them that it's just not looking like they're going to qualify.
Now, those that don't qualify that are, you know, and they got to collect not only signatures, but I think $5 from each.
Minimum?
No.
They have, so there's two different requirements. They've got to get 3,000 signatures alone to get on the ballot.
Okay.
If they want public financing, then they have to get an additional 3,750 signatures plus $5 to go with each of those.
Okay.
And so what we've seen with the public financing, all but one declared at the beginning, Mayling, that she was not going to take public financing. They have all now backed out of that except for Keller.
So she just needs 1,000 signatures.
Right.
And she's, you know, 530 signatures into that, it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's who's out there. How would you encourage people to find out more about the candidates and who they might want to sign a petition for? And if they are looking for public funding, that they would be a part of that as well.
Well, on the public financing, they've all backed out now because they can't get the signatures and the donations, except for Keller.
Okay.
And Keller thinks that he's going to be able to qualify. I think he may be qualified for that. He's very close. But all the others have backed out because they couldn't get both the $3,000 for the ballot and the $3,750 to get the public financing. And, you know, that's an interesting thing because if they qualify, they get $755,946 of taxpayer money to pay for their campaign. Imagine if 11 of them had qualified for that.
Yeah.
That's a chunk of change for this city.
Yeah. That's what...
It's in the millions.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, you know, there's a lot of people that are very disgruntled about this because it really seems to favor just the incumbent for whatever reason. And we definitely need some modifications. It's very difficult to get that to qualify for that. But and I misspoke. It's 3,780 signatures plus the $5 donation. So those that were already collected go into the pot for the financing. But they don't have access to it.
And the ones who collect money and don't make it, that money goes into the pot for the others who did make it.
Yes.
Yes.
And they don't have access to it.
It's so weird.
So, yeah, the money they've collected, it just goes away from them into public financing.
Okay. How new is this whole system, the way it's set up?
We've had the public financing for a few years now, and it definitely doesn't work, and they need to get it fixed.
Yeah, what'd they do before? Just you had to go out and find your own backing?
You had to raise your own money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are ways to find out about the candidates, and we've got a lot of information on our website. You can go to nmbizcoalition.org and go to the mayor's race, that web page. And it's not called the Mayor's Way page, but there you will find we've got links to all of their individual web pages and then questionnaires. We sent out questionnaires to all 11. We've gotten about 6 back so far. And those were some hard-hitting questions about what the people want to know about. They want to know about safety. They want to know about the roads. They want to know about the size of government. What are they going to do? And so the candidates who have completed it, most have given some good, thoughtful consideration. And I would encourage you to look at those questionnaires and determine who you think you're best aligned with and offer to help. If you're in their district or in the city district, sign their petition if you haven't and help them get the signatures if you want to see them on the ballot.
So, which, by the way, on the website, here's where it is, nmbizcoalition.org. It's real easy to find right at the top of the page, 2025 voter information. And then actually, you know, the top part of that drop down is the Albuquerque mayoral candidates. But then below that, other information about the 60-day session state Senate scorecard, if you haven't seen that yet. And the 60-day session state court scorecard for the House as well. Right now, obviously, on top of the stack is the mayoral candidates. And I'm glad you brought that up because I want to go see. This is a great way to go and find out, you know, who lines up more closely with your morals and values and what have you. I hope. I haven't been through it yet. So
yeah.
Have you been through each of these already?
I've read all the questionnaires. It's really interesting, and it's pretty easy to determine in a few answers if you're starting to see alignment or a big division between you and the candidate.
Yeah. So right now you can go and see Alpana Adair's, Maylin Armijo's, Daniel Chavez's, Brian Fahair, is that right?
Luis Sanchez,
Darren White.
Yeah.
All the rest, Adeo Herrick, Timothy Keller, as of probably you coming for the show today. I mean, who knows?
Right.
Patrick Seiss Alexander Ubias and Eddie Varela. Still awaiting their questionnaire response. Do you anticipate you'll get one from all of them?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Keller's campaign person called and asked for an extension on the deadline, and which we said was fine, get it to us when you can. But then we haven't seen it. And the others we're following up with now. But on some of these, as I said, I think that Brian, Apana, Adeo, and Patrick, it's not looking good for them to get on the ballot. They're really struggling to get the signatures. Yeah.
But they got the questionnaire done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And they can. They can pull it out quick and get the signatures, but it's difficult with that many candidates to get 3,000 signatures each.
Yeah. If you want to go find out more about what they've posted on the New Mexico Business Coalition website, go to NMBIZ. That's NM for New Mexico, nmbizcoalition.org, New Mexico Business Coalition's website. And on the top of the page, 2025 voter information, and there'll be a drop-down menu when you scroll over that that shows the 2025 Albuquerque mayoral candidates.
Yeah, and you should take some time to look at the scorecards, too. We don't normally release those until election time, but we did it on this last session because we think people need to be informed about how their legislators are voting.
Yeah.
And that is very eye-opening. If you go to that voter information tab, the drop-down below the mayoral race, then you'll get those for the Senate and the House. Stark differences in the way people are voting, if they're voting for business or not.
All right. Any more on the mayoral candidates?
I think that's it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about NMED and extending timeline for workplace heat protection rule. We talked about it a little bit already on this show. We'll cover it more with Carla Sontag. She's in studio with us for the full hour from the New Mexico Business Coalition. That's nmbizcoalition.org and bettertogethernewmexico.org. You got to spell that one all the way out. Bettertogethernewmexico.org. We'll be back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect daily at 1 o'clock. Hey, if you haven't been to our website or our Facebook page, we would really encourage you to do that. Both Tayshaun and Brianna are working hard to update the content there, and we'd encourage you to take advantage. Use it as a resource, especially the website, klyt.fm. You know, maybe you're listening to a teaching that you enjoy, and which, by the way, you're always welcome to call, and many of you do. You can go to our website at klyt.fm, right there on the homepage. Click, you know, go to On the Air and then Lineup. You'll find the teaching you were listening to, and actually, I think all of those have a hyperlink on them that'll take you right to their ministry, typically where you can hear the message that you heard that day. But if you ever have a question, email studio@klyt.fm or just call us. We'd be happy to chat with you. You'll find all that contact information on the website too at klyt.fm. And of course, look for us on Facebook, always letting you know about various events or something we're doing or just something, you know, water cooler talk, not gossip, just the water cooler talk, the stuff everyone's talking about just happened overnight or what have you. We might post a news story or something. So stay in touch with us on the website, klyt.fm, and then on Facebook, look for us as well. Carla Sontag's in studio with us. Carla recently had a chance to interview Mark Loy. Mark is the co-founder and chief communications officer for Answers in Genesis, who, you know, they built the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum in Kentucky,
yeah,
just south of Cincinnati. And you recently had a chance to get out there.
We just got back from there. It was absolutely amazing. You know, you'd know when you read the Bible,
yeah,
how incredible it is. And you know that God had to have given the directions to do something so incredible. But to be there, to see the immense size of it, because they tried to build it to the size that was described in the Bible, it is amazing. You feel like an ant. That thing is four stories high. but what fascinated me the most...
What did the ant feel like? If you felt like an ant, what did the ant feel like?
Well, that was an interesting thing. I always wondered, why did God want all the bugs and the crawly creatures to come on board? And according to them and what we studied, he didn't. He didn't bring those things on board because he figured they would survive. And, you know, they kind of do,
right?
No matter what happens. And so they weren't brought on board. And I was like, well, hallelujah. But they did have dinosaurs.
So after the animals do their business, there weren't any flies or anything flying around.
You know, that was the thing that fascinated me the most. How they cleaned up, how they fed the animals, but how they brought in fresh air during that storm and how they got fresh water. And I never thought about those things until I was looking at it in real time and I'm like, wow.
Now, there's a lot to find. It's a real education, not only the Ark Encounter, but the Creation Museum. And again, I mentioned I interviewed Mark Loy recently, and you can actually find that at abqconnect.online. It was a June 3rd. His last name is spelled L-O-O-Y, but it's pronounced Loy. You can look for that if you want to find out more, not only about what you encountered, Carla, and I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie. I want to go. But one of the other things that we talked about in our interview, they've got this, you know, we're preparing for Freedom Celebration, which is going to be great. June 28th, Expo New Mexico, freedomabq.com. These guys, you know, that's one night.
Yeah.
These guys, between July 29th and September 6th, you know, kind of the whole theme of 40 days of rain, right? The Ark.
Right.
They're doing 40 days of Christian music.
Nice.
And let me just some of the names that our audience will recognize: Crowder, Big Daddy Weave, Matthew West, Katie Nicole, Jordan Felice, Charity Gale, Cochran and Company, and then you know maybe some more gospel type acts: the Triumphant, Karen Peck and New River, Gold City, The Inspirations. But go to 40daysofchristianmusic.com and find out. Which, by the way, if you're going, now don't be upset because we didn't know about this when you were leaving. If you go to the Encounter or the museum, entrance to the concerts are included with your ticket.
Yeah, we went a little bit early for that, but we went with our church, and so it had been planned for a while.
Yeah. Still, I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah.
Carla is with the New Mexico Business Coalition, which, by the way, they actually have a new way for you to get to the website. It's a little condensed compared to the previous URL. It's nmbc.biz, New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbc.biz. B-I-Z.
And that'll get you to the place.
Yeah.
And you can look at the voter information that we discussed earlier and a lot of other resources online, and it's a little bit easier to remember.
Okay, so NMED, the New Mexico Environmental Department's Occupational Health and Safety Bureau, extending the adoption timeline for its proposed heat illness and injury rule. For those who haven't heard, fill us in, Carla.
Well, that was a victory because they took comments until the end of May. And so we thought by the end of this month, we'd have a decision. But instead, they're going to extend the time that you can put in comments. And you'll find out why in just a second. And it is going to go until probably November before they determine the rule. And that is really a good reprieve because let me tell you, this rule is pretty bad. We've got, as an example, if you've got people that are working in the sun in New Mexico, and that kind of happens if they're picking chili
for a few decades,
working on ranches,
centuries,
doing construction. Yes. Yeah. And here's
and let me preface or let me put a PS on that. We don't want to see anyone get heat stroke.
No, of course not.
However, and I'm somewhat familiar with what we're going to be. This seems, to me personally, a little extreme.
Well, you don't. If you think about it, there hasn't been this really high number of incidents of heat stroke because the last thing an employer wants is for an employee to get sick
for multiple reasons. Yeah, and I have to ask too before we go into details. Maybe you're going to get there. Are any of the people making this decision unelected officials?
Unelected?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all are.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Right.
Here we go.
So the only thing that we can do is provide written comments, and I would encourage people to do that. You can find information on our website about that and see the letter that we sent. But here's an example. In New Mexico, it can get hot. Fortunately, not as hot as Arizona, but they're also indexing the temperature. So if somebody's working in full sun, which we do, they're adding 13 degrees to their chart. So at 92 degrees, which is a little bit common.
Yeah, they're saying it's 105.
Exactly. But at 105, it means that an employee can work for 15 minutes and then they are off for 45 minutes of every hour.
Are they off or are they being paid?
No, they're being paid.
Oh, okay.
To be off.
Who's paying them?
Yeah, the employer. And guess what happens?
It's not funny. Anyway.
Well, it just is not realistic.
Well,
how many employers
welcome to 2025.
Are going to start, continue construction, continue picking chili, continuing to take care of their ranch, if paying somebody a full hour for 15 minutes of work, 8 hours a day, it just doesn't make sense. And these people are taking care of their employees. Like I said, we don't want to see anybody hurt or get sick.
No.
But you're not hearing about that either.
Yeah. And, you know, when something does happen where someone was unreasonably made to work in a situation where, you know, it caused harm to the worker, then that needs to go into civil litigation and the authority. You know, I don't know law. I'm not a lawyer, but deal with individual. What I'm saying is deal with individual circumstances.
There's a lot of rules already in place that govern this with OSHA. This is the New Mexico OSHA that's doing this. And so there is recourse against an employer who's not treating their employees right, as there should be.
Okay, so I'm not elected. Can I chime in? I guess I can chime in.
You bet you can.
I just can't make policy.
Right. Well, neither can they, but they think they can.
Okay, so that is what is now. Is that something you'd be able to find on the website?
Yes, on the Take Action page.
Okay,
we'll give you everything that you need to know about how to submit your comments. We could not automate this. For those of you who know us and follow us, we automate those that we can. This one we could not.
Okay.
You've got to draft your own, but you can find a copy of my letter for reference, and then we've got all the other resources there to help you understand the rule so that you can put in your comments. And they don't have to be elaborate, long, drawn out, and legal document type of comments.
Yeah.
Just tell them what you think about what that's going to do to New Mexico businesses and our economy.
I want to read your letter. Where's your letter?
It should be posted online.
Okay.
That one would probably, let's see, we've got the Take Action page. And then we have information under the heat rule comments. That's where you can post it. And I'm not sure where my letter
okay.
is posted.
So at any rate, go to nmbc.biz, click on Take Action, and then you'll see right at the top, Heat Action. Send your comments. Is there a place to read up on... Well, I guess, you know, right under Heat Action, it's got the information.
Yeah, and there'll be when you go.
Oh, check out our statement here.
There you go.
Well, we'll find it.
Yeah.
We would encourage you to go to the website and check out the under the action, Take Action, the Heat Action, and
Our statement here should take you to the letter that we posted. If that link is working correctly, we'll check that. But and you can read other comments that have been placed online. We checked about a week ago and there were 600 comments, and that is really good.
Yeah.
That means New Mexicans are
I need to actually get on there
and
leave my comment. I sit here on the radio and say, hey, I'm not elected. I want, well, this is a way I can.
Right.
Thanks, Carla and the team.
These employers would have to have a full-time person just monitoring heat and time, and so that's another position that we could give to somebody that would want to be gainfully employed doing something productive. It's just not a good situation. And, you know, it gets a little hot in kitchens sometimes, even though you're indoors. So
was this exclusively outdoor?
No.
Okay, so it would
So can you imagine how long you're going to wait for your meals in restaurants now?
Yeah. No, I'll just...
Because the cooks will be on break.
I'll cook at home, and when I start to cook and it gets too hot, I'll have to tell the family, I got to turn everything off and sit here for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, welcome to 25. I mean, have you seen what's happening in Southern California?
Well,
you know?
And that's where this rule came from, of course, from California.
Yeah, along with a lot of other things that our state leaders seem to follow what's happening in California, but we'll get to a little bit of that coming up in the next segment as well. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition is our guest for the full hour. nmbc.biz for the website, nmbc.biz, and also bettertogethernewmexico.org for that organization, which Paula also is representing. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about a joint statement that our governor signed recently, issued by the Democratic Governors Association. When we come back from the break, we'll let you know about that on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Hey, I mentioned earlier in the show the great work that Brianna and Tayshaun are doing, not only to, you know, bring us on the air and engineer the show, but the website. And on the website, you will find Focus on the Family's Live It Challenge. They've been doing this for a few months, and if they continue to do it, we'll try to keep it posted right there on our Action Center on the homepage. But you just go to klyt.fm. You'll see there on the homepage this month's Live It Challenge from Focus on the Family for the whole month of June, setting aside time to pray. That is the topic. And if you click on the hyperlink, you just click on the banner there, it'll take you to a guide to 7 days of prayer and the PRAY model, all part of the Live It Challenge from Focus on the Family. It's on the homepage at klyt.fm. Okay, so in this segment, I'm going to start this with our guest, Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition. I have a question for you, Carla.
All right.
Okay, total, you know, just imagine that I was like, you know what? I'm done with America. I don't want to live here anymore. And I say I went to Canada, you know, and I just somewhere along Montana's border there, I just went right over. If there was a fence, I found a way under it or over it, or just went into Canada. And I was essentially, I'm going to guess that, I don't know Canada's laws, but let's say Canada says, you know, you can't do that. That's illegal to do that. And if you do that, you are committing a crime.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I make my way over to Prince Rupert, British Columbia. And eventually the government starts coming after me, you know, and, cause I'm, you know, in the country illegally. And then me and all the other people who've left America in the same manner, you know, and maybe some people in Canada hired to come with us to, create I guess we would call it a peaceful demonstration, but, you know, we'd be throwing rocks and burning things and
peace is all in the eyes of the beholder these days.
Yeah. I've basically invaded their country, you know, mm-hmm. and bring with me an American flag for the country that, you know, I decided I didn't want to be in it anymore. And I'm waving my American flag and I'm there illegally and their government's come to pick me up and people like me and people that empathize with, you know, my position are throwing things and burning things and people that are getting paid to empathize are doing that too. You know, it just seemed a little crazy for me to think, what's the problem? Mm. You know, and then if all the province leaders from any given political party decided that they're going to write we don't like what you're doing letter to the prime minister who has sent the their National Guard to, you know, to take over where mayors in Prince Rupert say we were in. You know, the mayor of Prince Rupert was like, you know, hey, man, you know, these people who are, and they don't even tell me that I'm, you see where I'm going. It's just, you know, remove it from where, I don't know what we need to do for people to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's happening in our country. It's in the headlines. The reason we're going here is, and I mentioned it going into the break, that our governor has signed onto a joint statement issued by the Democratic Governors Association that condemned actions taken by President Trump to restore law and order to the streets of Los Angeles, California. So, tell us what's going on here with, you know, I didn't probably well articulate because maybe some people haven't seen the headlines.
Well, yeah, so ICE was in California as they have been in other states, and they are trying to find the violent felons that are here illegally and to get them out of our country because they are wreaking havoc on society. So people, sympathizers who think that these violent felons should be allowed to stay in our country and kill and rape and maim are protesting in California. Well, on the 14th, they are organizing protests in every state. California has been protesting for a few days and it's been violent. We've had officers hurt.
Who's they?
The people who are sympathizing with the violent felons they want left in our country.
Okay.
They don't want ICE.
So we might see this right here in Albuquerque.
Yeah, they've got one planned in New Mexico on the 14th. So, and they're planning it in a lot of cities, like Farmington is getting one ready and Las Cruces, Albuquerque will see a protest. But in California, it's been violent and they are burning buildings. They're burning mostly vehicles. They have hurt police officers.
I see. I mean, I saw a video of several law enforcement, like a line of them going down the street and a guy was just picking up rocks and throwing them as hard as he could at them as they went by.
Right.
They just kept going.
The president has called in the National Guard to assist. And now he's called in some military because it is continuing to escalate. And, of course, they're blaming the president.
Well, not only continue. I think isn't the president saying that essentially the leaders that are in those communities aren't doing what they can to quell the uprising?
Well, he's called these people in to protect citizens because the mayor and the governor will not do it.
Yeah.
So our governor decides to sign on to a letter saying that Trump, our president, doesn't have the right to protect people in California when they're not being protected or to protect government buildings they are threatening to burn. And so they are now going to file a lawsuit against the president and against the United States for trying to protect citizens of California.
And some will say this is extreme, maybe, but I think there's a correlation. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and our armed forces combated that, now that was different in that because it was an organized army from another, but it was, you know, citizens of another nation coming to attack our nation and do things it was illegal to drop bombs on the Arizona. I mean, we weren't at war. Well, no, I guess we were because they declared war. There's a timeline there that's within minutes, too. There's a history lesson. But regardless, people are, and not just from one country. They're coming to the United States from several countries, and they're coming illegally, or they're coming legally, and then when it's time to leave, they don't leave, and that's illegal.
But those aren't really the concern of the federal government.
No, their main concern is the violent, and I've actually heard several reports when they talk about those people, they're saying, I can't even read to you the charges, over the radio or over the TV, what some of these people have done.
That's the problem, and that's the reason why, I for one am thankful that all these people that came in, that were allowed to come in, are going to be escorted out because they don't belong here. And it's not the concern of the average everyday person who came here illegally or overstayed their welcome. It's the violent felons that are the concern. And I tell you, I don't want them here. We have enough of our own without importing them. But here's the deal. The governor signs on to this letter with Governor Newsom and others in the Democratic Governors Association. She herself called in the National Guard into Albuquerque in this crime-ridden city. And now she's going to go to California by letter and oppose that the National Guard is sent there to protect the people? A little disingenuous, I think.
Yeah, well, duplicitous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any action? Is any of this on the action page?
No, it's just something that I think people should be aware of. And it leads up to our final segment that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
When we talk about what's going on there and we talk about these upcoming protests planned around the United States, we're talking about our first responders being injured.
All right.
And we had someone that was killed recently in San Juan County.
We saw those headlines, too. We're going to talk about it. We're going to take a quick break and finish with our final segment with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbc.biz, and bettertogethernewmexico.org. We'll be back after the break on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Hey, I mentioned Ray Mondragon is going to be on the broadcast with us on tomorrow's show. And Ray is part of the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. They meet each month. It's a free meeting to attend where, you know, there's typically education on creation science. Ray spoke last month and will again speak this month on Babel, Myth or History, the Importance to Creation Science. Part two of that on next Tuesday night, June 17th, at Faith Bible Church in Albuquerque, Central and Moon. It's a free membership to be part of the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. It includes hearing from these quality speakers, some who travel to come for that monthly meeting, books and DVDs, and they have a members lending library. The website is csfnm.org on the web. Carla Sontag has been our guest for the entire hour today. And to recap, for those who may have just tuned in, Carla, on the website at nmbc.biz, there's a lot of good information, including information on the mayoral race. If you're on the website, just click on the 2025 voter information, and the drop-down menu will show you the mayoral candidates. And as Carla mentioned, they were sent a questionnaire, and about a half of them returned the questionnaire. Some are still waiting to see. But going to look at how they answered the questionnaire, especially for the ones that are likely going to be in the race in November, which, by the way, November 5th is the election. Not only will the mayor's race be on there, but I'm imagining, Carla, there'll be stuff with school board.
Yeah, school board and city council.
Okay. And between now and then, plenty of time to get educated watch for information at nmbc.biz. But you can find that information. We talked about that in our first segment, and then we also talked about the New Mexico Environmental Department's Occupational Health and Safety Bureau extending the adoption timeline for its proposed heat illness and injury rule. You can find that in the Take Action Center, the Take Action tab you'll find at nmbc.biz. In our last segment, informing you, the listener, about our governor's action signing onto a document with other Democratic governors condemning actions taken by President Trump to restore law and order to the streets of Los Angeles. You connected that story, Carla, with our first responders. And by the way, before we jump into information about the recent loss of a first responder here in New Mexico and the Heroes Banquet, I did hear a good story this morning. I don't have the details, but apparently a restaurant owner in the Los Angeles area was opening the restaurant and providing meals for the first responders there in way of response to what they were seeing. And it would sure be nice to see that happen, not only more in you know, Los Angeles and New Mexico, but across our country, the respect that our first responders once had. So there's that. Now let's talk about the recent loss of an officer here in New Mexico and an event you have coming up later this year.
Well, the event is our annual Heroes Banquet, and we honor a veteran of the year and other community heroes, but we will also honor fallen first responders. We pray that we don't lose another officer in the line of duty, but unfortunately, we just recently lost one from a traffic stop. He was shot and eventually died of his wounds a couple of days later. And this was Officer Timothy Ontiveros. They had a funeral service for him in Farmington yesterday. And he is today on his way to be buried in Texas, where he has family. And as we mourn the loss, this Heroes event will be honoring his family. We will invite the family, cover their costs, to come down and accept an award and some gifts. But the proceeds from the event go to scholarships for his children. And he left behind a 17-year-old and a younger child. And the 17-year-old is just getting ready to graduate and will be looking for what he wants to do next. And we want to help with that. So the scholarship can be used for anything. It doesn't have to be used for college, but however he wants to continue his education, if he wants to go into training or community college or whatever, we want to help with that. We know it's hard on families who've lost somebody like that.
33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have kids that age.
The theme that we have always used is some give a lot. Some gave it all. And this officer is one who gave it all. He was also a organ donor, and he had organs that went to save the lives of others even after he had lost his own. So we just want to encourage you to attend the event, to honor the family. It's something that is really emotional but uplifting. It's so important for the family to see New Mexico come together to honor the person that they lost, because it's a hard thing that they're facing right now. And when the community comes together, it's beautiful. And you know that the proceeds of the event are going to his children and others that we've lost. You can see on our website, if you go to the events under new events, it'll be the first thing that comes up. We are looking for sponsors of the event. Sponsorship comes with some tickets and some other perks, and you can read about that. But again, you'll be supporting children who have lost a parent as a first responder. And unfortunately, we have a growing list of kids.
Now, if you go to the website at nmbc.biz, not only will you see information about the upcoming event as it gets posted, but you can see, as Carla mentioned, past events. Same categories this year for honorees?
Yes.
Which include Fallen First Responders, Community Hero Award, that year's Veteran of the Year, and Public Safety Hero, all recognized at the event. And tickets will be available soon?
They're available now.
Okay. So you can go to the website and do that for the Heroes Banquet. And actually, the way to get to that is on nmbc.biz under events. Go to new events. If you want to see those previous names, go down to the Heroes Banquet honorees specifically. But the 2025 Heroes Banquet is happening October 23rd at the Crown Plaza Hotel. The details about that and sponsorship opportunities, tickets, everything is at nmbc.org or .biz, nmbc.biz. Carla, only got about a minute. Looking forward, some of the projects that New Mexico Business Coalition working on?
Our focus continues to be to get good people elected who will make better decisions and better appointments of non-elected officials, so that we can feel a little safer in this state and see our state thrive in the way that it should. That's always our focus. We can do better. We're an awesome state of awesome people, and we just need those people serving in office for us.
Okay, and do you need many hands make light work? Could you use volunteers or?
Absolutely, especially at the Heroes event. If you're interested in volunteering, you would get a free entry and dinner at the event. But we do need some help with the silent auction and entry and all of that. So if you're interested, give us a call.
And if you have something to give for the silent auction, give them a connect with them as well.
Yes, we definitely need items for the silent auction. And we do advertise statewide about your generosity and how you supported this event and the heroes that are often left unsung.
All right. Thanks, Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbc.biz. Join us tomorrow with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.